This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Well, they're not E.F. Hutton.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. No one seems to be listening to Saudi Arabia. The Saudis declared the price of oil unjustified and unreasonable. Oil climbed even further. The Saudis said they would pump more oil. The price went up again. And yesterday, Saudi Arabia held an emergency oil summit in the city of Jeddah. Again, they vowed to produce more oil. So take a guess what happened. The price of oil climbed to $137 a barrel this morning. Stephen Beard has more from London.
Pretty soon, the Saudis will be pumping at their highest level for 30 years. But no other OPEC members in Jeddah followed the Saudi example. Rob Loughlin of MF Global says that's why the price of oil is higher this morning.
The reason we're up is obviously the failure of the meeting in Jeddah yesterday. Certainly the market's perception is that we failed because we haven't really got any substantial extra supplies of oil hitting the world market.
In fact, the Saudi increase is likely to be outweighed by the loss of production in Nigeria. Some major oil fields there remain shut following attacks last week by militants. Nigeria is now pumping crude at its lowest level for a quarter of a century. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Last week, Wall Street wiped out about 3 months' worth of gains. Friday, the Dow closed below 12,000 for the first time since March. All the major indexes lost 2 to 4% last week. The Dow is at 11,842. The NASDAQ starts the week at 2406. The S&P 500 opens from 1318. In Asia today, the markets fell about 0.5%, but European shares are up about 0.5%. You might think the U.S. is king when it comes to internet access, but consumer groups say this country lags behind others in terms of broadband service. The FCC will look into this at a hearing today. Janet Babin has more from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
Exactly what is broadband internet access? Analyst Craig Moffat at Bernstein Research says it depends on who you ask and what country they're in.
There are no international standards defining what broadband is. In the U.S., broadband, believe it or not, is still described as any service that's over 200 kilobits per second.
Yeah, that's really slow. Forget kilobits. You have to be in megabit territory just to stream video online. Moffat says the U.S. needs to redefine what's considered broadband. And then, if we want everyone to have it, we're going to have to subsidize it.
Everybody would love to see broad availability of broadband connections, but nobody wants to really grapple with the hard question, which is how much are taxpayers willing to pay for it?
Countries with widespread broadband access, like Korea and Japan, have already figured that out. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
You may have heard by now that FCC troublemaker George Carlin died last night. Carlin was a lot of things. One of the things he loved to make fun of was consumerism.
That's the whole meaning of life, isn't it? Trying to find a place for your stuff. That's all your house is. Your house is just a place for your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. And when you leave your stuff, you gotta lock it up. Wouldn't want somebody to come by and take some of your stuff. They always take the good stuff.
George Carlin was 71.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
I don't know if you caught this study that came out last week from Associated Press. It said the CEOs of S&P 500 companies had a median pay of $8.4 million last year. That was a 3.5% gain from 2006.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan, I thought with all the losses on Wall Street, so many layoffs, the downturn, we were going to see some changes in executive pay. Maybe this is the year?
You know, there's a principle that says if a small number of people care about something an awful lot, they will have more influence than a lot of people who care about it only a little. And if there is anything in the world that chief executive officers of U.S. corporations care about, it's their compensation packages, and they care a lot. And no matter what the formula is or often what the shareholders do, the CEOs influence the process enough, either directly or indirectly, that they all make out.
Are you hearing about any movement within companies by shareholders to put more pressure on executive compensation?
There is, in fact, something called say on pay, which is really interesting, which proposes to give shareholders a say on the compensation of the top executives. And the name say on pay is very catchy, but it's been adopted in only one or two places, one of which is Aflac. I just sort of wonder in the end how much good it'll do, but what can it hurt?
We had talked before about the newest round of shareholder meetings and how we were expecting shareholders to come in there with fire in their bellies and demand things like accountability. Have we seen any of that?
Well, we've seen some accountability at a bunch of these financial companies that have really run into trouble. The chief executive has been offered up as a human sacrifice. However, the CEOs of these big financial companies that have been broomed, no one said to them, you know, maybe you should give back some of the money we awarded you when we thought we were making a ton of money, and it turns out we really didn't because we had to take all these write-downs and all these profits were illusory. You know, nobody does that. I mean, there's accountability in the sense that these people lose their jobs, but there's not accountability in the sense that they're pursued for the money they probably shouldn't have gotten. And barring, you know, a complete miracle, I don't think that will ever happen, because shame used to be a powerful motivator, and I guess it isn't anymore. If you have enough money, you can afford to be ashamed.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
You're welcome, Scott.
Feel free to share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.